Coming around from any jump was unpleasant. For each of the six friends, this particular interrupted jump had been the worst, having ravaged their minds with vivid nightmares. Gobbets of tears streaked Christie's pale cheeks. She had bitten the end of her tongue, and blood smeared her chin. As she started to recover consciousness, she shuddered violently. Mildred's hands pressed between her thighs, and she huddled in the fetal position. At her side, JB was on his way back from the blackness. His eyelids moved rapidly as though he were dreaming, and his fingers kept clenching and opening as though they were trying to grasp the butt of a gun. Like Doc, he suffered from a bleeding nose. The blood trickled down his face onto the floor, where it began to clot. Ryan was the first to manage to open an eye, promptly closing it again as a tidal wave of sickness swept up from his stomach. He had a pounding headache, and his eye felt as if someone were holding a red-hot dagger behind it, trying to push it from its socket. The air felt neutral, flat and stale, which generally meant that they were in a redoubt that was still sealed from the days of Skydark. Ryan risked another brief glance, checking the color of the armor-glass walls of the six-sided chamber. Back in Japan, they had been a vivid orange.
Purple. Deep purple.
That meant that they'd made the jump safely, even though it had taken a toll on everyone's health.
Fire blast.
Ryan noticed that his phlegm was flecked with blood. He finally felt able to look around to see how the others were doing. It looked as though everyone had either been bleeding or had been sick, or both. JB was closest to coming around, his eyes blinking open, showing only the whites. His hands were gently touching his face, as though he were trying to find some unguessable wound. The others were still unconscious. Ryan was relieved that his young son Dean hadn't been with them. The boy had often suffered from previous jumps.
Dark night. Been rolled and tolled like a bell.
Good day, John Dix. Sounds like you feel about as well as you look.
If I look as well as you look, then I'm looking twice as well as I feel.
Gaia, I can tell you that I feel twice as bad as both of you put together. That was a mean mother of a jump.
In the corner, Jack struggled to his knees.
Oh. Anyone get to number that wag? Or was it a mule to kick me into balls?
Ryan managed to drag himself onto his feet, fighting a wave of vertigo that threatened to send him back to his hands and knees. He closed his eye again.
If there's any day-old bunnies looking to kick my ass, tell them from me that I surrender right now.
Christie was sitting now, running her fingers through the tight coils of her bright red hair.
Think that Doc and Mildred are all right?
I don't know about that stringy old buzzard, but I think I'm still on the right side of the Dark River. Oh, the way I feel, I might prefer it if I was dead and free from suffering. That was just about the worst jump I've known.
Must have been because of the quake, just as we started the matter transfer.
JB carefully removed his glasses from his pocket, wiped them, and placed them back on his narrow nose. Doc wiped his hand across his face, peering myopically at the smear of blood.
Oh, by the three Kennedys.
I had a horrible dream. Makes a bad jump worse.
Yeah, me too, lover.
Think we've landed in Tennessee, Ryan?
Didn't catch the Japanese out in any lies over stuff like that. Air feels right for an old redoubt. Be nice if we found a place where we could all clean up some.
I'll second that. Whew.
Mildred leaned on the purple wall of the chamber. Behind her, Jack was still hunched over.
You okay, Jack? You ready to move?
Yeah. One sec. Okay.
Ryan put his hand on the heavy armor-glass door of the Matrans unit.
Remember, we're on red, everyone.
They stepped out of the chamber, everyone holding a gun, and faced a small anteroom. There was no door on their side of it, and the frame was scarred and chipped, with splinters of wood hanging off.
Looks like there was violence.
Jack pointed his python at pockmarks in the far wall.
Huh. Bullet holes.
Semi-automatic 9mm. Way I read it so far, it seems like there was a firefight down here. Likely in the last day or so of the nuke cost.
Last hours. Maybe minutes.
Hours. Door's missing, so there was time for someone to do some tidying.
There's something written there. Looks like graffiti.
James Burton will live forever. Must have been one of the soldiers here.
No, Christy. One of the greats of rock and roll. Lead guitar man who played with Elvis and Ricky Nelson and all the best. Nice to see someone appreciated him.
They signed their graffiti. Someone called Raj wrote it.
Must have been a rock and roll man. They always used to say that rock and roll would never die.
Seems to be more signs of a fight in the control room.
More 9mm holes. In the wall, ceiling, and some old blood.
A couple of the consoles have been blasted from here to perdition.
The rest are all working fine by the look of it.
No bodies. Shows there was time to do some cleaning after the shooting.
Doesn't seem to have affected any of the main controls. Doc, any idea what those two comp consoles would have done?
The broken ones?
Yeah. Doc walked over and looked at them, his head to one side.
I believe that the one on the left was an AWAC Subcom 14. The other one was an Andromeda SUF-84.
Yeah? So what did they do? What part of the Matrans unit did they work on? That's what matters.
I fear that it would take greater wisdom than I possess to answer that, old friend. All I can do is tell you what they were called.
How do you know that? I'm grudgingly impressed with your memory, Doc.
Ah, well, I cannot truthfully take the credit for that, Dr. Wilde. There are neat little labels attached to the desks in front of each of the comp screens.
Let's see where we are. Ready?
JB walked to the massive sector that sealed off the Matran section from the rest of what he assumed would be another redoubt, as Ryan knelt on the cold stone floor. Jack, still looking a whiter shade of pale, was standing by to operate the green handle that controlled the raising and lowering of the door.
Take her up six. Stop.
Ryan flattened himself, squinting to check for any obvious sign of danger. All he could see was the most familiar of redoubt sights, an expanse of bare corridor curving away to the left and right, brightly lit.
Up another 6 inches, Jack. Hold it.
Now he could see farther in both directions. He tasted the air, savoring the flatness and dull quality that normally indicated that the military complex hadn't been broken into over the centuries since Skydark. All of the redoubts had been powered with the finest examples of 20th century American scientific knowledge, nuclear power plants that were designed to be self-maintaining, controlling every aspect of the redoubts, temperature, humidity, and air quality, filtering, cleaning, and recycling automatically for close to 100 years without a mortal hand being laid on the controls. If there was any problem, then there were automatic cutouts and bypass arrangements so that the whole complex would carry on running at a minimally low level, ticking over, waiting for the humans to return once the nuclear threat was done and passed. But the nuclear threat had destroyed the world. The events of Skydark killed all but a tiny handful of the planet's population, irrevocably shattering science and industry forever and a day. The long winter set the country back to its deathland status, similar in some ways to the dark times of the Middle Ages in Europe, with a number of larger and smaller vills, some of them ruled by their own barons. So the humans never returned, but the redoubts continued. Some, it would never be known how many, had been destroyed by the first strike, wiped away at ground zero, but a surprising number had survived, relatively unscarred.
Take it all the way up.
Ryan rose to his feet, still gripping the Sig Sauer.
You feel anything, Christy?
Can't sense any kind of life reading.
Good.
But there's always the possibility of my power being thrown off by all the steel and lead shielding in these places. Bear that in mind, lover.
Sure.
The passage beyond the open door gaped smooth and silent. As in most redoubts, the ceiling was curved, with recessed lighting and a number of tiny set cameras fixed at the junction of concrete wall and ceiling, ceaselessly roaming, a glowing red light showing when they were actually transmitting pictures back to some long-abandoned central control area of the complex.
We going out?
Hell yeah. Skirmish line. And everyone keep it on triple red.
Ryan led the way toward the left, though experience in many other redoubts made him guess what he might find. Almost universally, the passage to the left of the entrance to the Matrans unit ended in a blank wall, as though the original long-dead builders had deliberately made the gateway in the deepest, most secure part of the complex, as far away from the surface and potential danger as possible. The corridor wound gently, ending after about 100 yards in a blank, unfinished wall of raw rock. The stone crystals glittered brightly in the stark overhead lighting.
Phew, that gold.
More like the gold of fools, son. Iron pyrites, unless I miss my guess.
No point just standing and looking at it. About face, and let's move on.
It was a big redoubt, nothing like some of the smaller concealed buildings that they'd come across in their travels. This one was substantial. You could sense it, even if you didn't have any special Muti powers.
Feels like being buried at the bottom of the deepest mine shaft in the world.
They moved toward the right, the corridor winding in a big circle, rising slightly as it went forward.
It's like being inside the shell of a huge snail. Going to get dizzy if this goes on much farther.
They passed a number of side passages, but all were blocked off by immovable sectors. Each had a digital panel at the side, but the letter and number codes had vanished in the new case of a century earlier. As they came to another one of the green painted doors, Jack wandered over to the keypad. Nothing happened. He shook his mane of stark white hair in disappointment.
I would hazard a guess that the odds against your stumbling on the right combination to open any of the doors is something in the order of, well, let me see, 6 to 1. No, that cannot be correct. Of course, I had forgotten that the decimal point should be moved. Yes. 108,640,000 to 1. Very roughly. To the nearest 10,000 or so. Somewhere in that vicinity. Approximately. More or less. A rough estimate, of course. Rather a slim
chance. Yeah. We got the picture, Doc.
They walked and climbed the corridors for the next half an hour. After a few minutes of walking, they dropped right down from triple red to orange, which meant you could holster your gun if you wanted, but you still kept well alert. It also meant that they'd stopped walking the extended skirmish line with Ryan at point and JB as rear guard.
Looks clear that there's a single access down to the gateway part of the redoubt, covered between 2 and 3 miles already.
Ryan nodded. He'd lost count of the side turns that had been locked and barred from them. There were discolored rectangular patches on the concrete walls where signs had been ripped down. They would probably have given them clues as to what the other sections of the complex had been. Though, since access was impossible, it didn't make a whole lot of difference. The worry was that they would eventually reach an end to the White Passage, an end that was staked off like a fox's den, giving them no choice but to return all the way to the gateway and try a jump out again.
Is it my imagination, or is the air here a little bit fresher?
Could mean we're nearing the top, close to the exit.
Might be that. If the nuke power is drawing in any clean air from outside, it would be most obvious up here.
Doc leaned a hand against the wall, picking at the crusted blood around his nose and mouth.
I had rather hoped that there might be ablution facilities somewhere close by. A wash and brush up would be most welcome.
Yeah, I stink of puke.
A wash would do us all good after that horrific jump. Ugh, yeah. Can't say my armpits are charm pits.
They moved on. Before long, they found themselves standing in a huddle, dejected and downcast, looking at the single sector that filled the end of the passage from side to side. It fitted flush all the way around the flanks, coming down to settle on the concrete floor without enough of a gap for an ant to crawl through.
That's it. Gaia, I really don't want to face another jump just yet.
Nothing else to do. Fire blast. If we could have gotten through to find somewhere to clean up with drinking water and maybe beds for a night, then I'd have felt ready to jump again. But this...
I just punch into code and open the door.
Oh, sure. And we'll just sit here and wait for 3,000 years while you try all the possible combinations. You couldn't get any of the others. This one's no different.
Jack stood very close to the wall, inspecting it.
What in the name of perdition is the young Ganymede doing? Does he seek the Holy Grail?
No. I know what he's looking for.
Found it. I need something.
Jack smeared his hand over the film of dust on the sole of his combat boot. He then used his saliva and rubbed the combination into a gray paste. He carefully wiped it on the wall beneath the code pad.
You saw that they'd done this on the other doors, didn't you, Jack?
Yeah, but scratched out. Guess it might leave main door code. People always forget it. Seen that in other redoubts.
Jack stared at the tiny incised markings, standing out dark against the cream concrete of the wall. The others gathered around.
Looks like a 6, then 2 and 9, followed by 2 letters. An N and a W, then another 2, and an 8 to finish.
9. The last number is a 9, not an 8, Ryan.
You sure?
Sure. 6, 2, 9, N, W, 2, 9. Well done, Jack.
Enter it in, Jack. Everyone back on triple red. Keep alert.
I can't feel anyone near, Lover.
You're probably right, Christy. A trader used to say that a man who rests his life on a probably doesn't get to be much older.
They stood off in a circle while the teenager took up his position by the control panel. There didn't seem to be any manual override on the sec door, so it wasn't going to be possible to stop it after a few inches. It was all or nothing.